I bid you welcome into this place of praise and prayer, a place where we gather to remember that we are, each and every one of us, the beloved of God. I greet you with these words, may the Lord be with you. Would you please stand and join me in the call to worship? Give thanks to God, for God is good. Come, let us praise God with joyful hearts
and with songs of thanksgiving.
Gathered in the peace of this place,
we have here our prayers and praise.
Come, children of God, let us worship together. Let us pray. Holy and ever-living God, we give you thanks for the beauty of the earth, for the wonder of the world around us, and the wonder of this beautiful weather this time in November. Thank you, God, for the long days. Thank you, God, for sunshine. Thank you for crisp mornings. Thank you for time shared with family and friends. And thank you for this place, in this moment, at this hour, when we gather as your family of faith to worship you. God, speak, we pray, into our lives, and hear also our praise and our prayers, for we offer all of our praise and our prayers to your glory. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning, and a very warm welcome into the house of God. An especially warm welcome is extended to you if you are visiting with us this morning. We bid you a very warm welcome. We invite you to sign the blue friendship pads as they are passed along the pew. We also invite you to join us for further fellowship through this door here in Irman Hall. You're invited to come through here for fellowship. You're then invited to come back into the sanctuary where one of our young people, Theo Level, is going to... There's Theo over there. Good to see you. Theo is going to speak about his alternative spring break. His alternative winter break. So, if you want to know more, it is a really exciting venture. So please do come back into the sanctuary and listen to what Theo has to say and support Theo in this incredible venture. You'll notice that thanks to everyone who was here yesterday decorating the church for Christmas, it's looking lovely. We have one last decoration to add to it, and it is, of course, the Christmas poinsettias. If you would like to donate, order a Christmas poinsettia in honor or in memory of someone, there is an order form in this morning's bulletin, so please do make use of that. I'd like to draw particular attention where it says you're invited. You're invited to a Christmas open house, and that's going to be held here in the church in Irman Hall on Friday evening. It's this coming Friday. It's from 6 until 8. It's a time simply to share together, to sing carols, to exchange cookies. So if you could bring along, I don't know, 2-3 dozen of your favorite cookies, that would be great. And we will have a cookie walk, and there will be some light snacks, punch, and of course, Christmas cheer. Please do come along and support this. All monies raised at this event will go towards our sack lunch program. There are a number of other announcements in the bulletin. Please do look at these at your leisure. And Karen Roach is waving her hand at me, or a finger. Did everybody hear that? No. Friday's food delivery is at 10:30. 10:30 this Friday. Okay? Thank you.
Good morning. It's great to be with you on such a beautiful morning, such a beautiful place, a time for all of us to count the many blessings that we have in our lives and give thanks this morning. Would you please join me in the prayer of confession as printed in our bulletin? Generous God,
you have filled our lives with blessing upon blessing. Hear our prayers as we give thanks for all your loving kindness. You have been our companion on the journey. Forgive us when we ignore you. Our lives are rich in blessings, but we have taken too much for granted. Forgive our ingratitude and our unwillingness to give back to you through the loving service of our lives. May we know the peace of your forgiveness. Grant us a new beginning and a will to love and serve you, following the example of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Friends, hear the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks that you feel our sorrows, you know our pains, you understand our lives inside and out. We thank you, God, that you look upon us with tenderness and compassion, that over and again you forgive us and you invite us into a closer relationship with you, that you may pour into our lives blessing upon blessing. Speak to us now, we pray, in this moment. Speak to us through silence, through prayer, through music, and through your word. Speak into our lives and allow us the time and the space to listen, to grow, to understand, and to deepen and enrich our faith. God, we pray these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So I brought something with me this morning. It's kind of small. In fact, it's very small. They are very small. Can you see what these are? Can you see them, girls? Claire. Scissors. You know, that's a really great guess. They're not scissors. They're kind of like scissors. Flat nose scissors. What the heck's that? So some people think they're scissors. Wire snippers. Oh, kind of, I suppose. Do you know what these are, girls? Dangerous things, says Jim. In the wrong hands, definitely. Lainey, do you know? No? Oh, Logan. What do you think they are, Logan? Pliers. They're pliers. So here's the question. What do we use pliers for? For plying. Do you know, so it's one of these things that, you know, I was thinking about it. What do you use pliers for? Opening things, yeah? For screwing things, yeah? For grasping things, yeah? For twisting things, grabbing something tightly, twisting it. And I think, actually, they can be used, Mary Jane, for cutting wire, yeah? I think these are really, really nifty pliers. But here's the thing. They're not just pliers. These pliers are really, really, really clever. Because as pliers, they can twist and they can pull. They can do all sorts of things. But if you look into the sides of them, you can see that there are little compartments. So not only are these pliers, but they're scissors. And there's a bottle opener. And there's a nail file. And there's a blade. And there is a lanyard for hanging it. Do you know how many functions these pliers have? How many different things they can do? Have a guess. 27. No. 6? Any higher than 6? Any advance on 6? 8? Higher. 12. These pliers have got 12 different functions. And you may say they've got 12 different things that they can do, 12 different talents. Do you believe me? That was so totally unconvincing. I'm a pastor. You're meant to believe me. Do you believe me?
Yes.
Well, I'm not going to show you. I'm not going to show you what they can do. First of all, because it's incredibly difficult to unhook all the different functions. But secondly, because there's a point. You see, I think many of us have many different functions, many, many different talents. And sometimes what we do is we just tell people, I can do this and I can do that. I can do all of these things. But we don't prove it because we don't do it. And you know, Jesus told a parable about some people who had been given talents, had been given many talents, and some people used these talents, and some people decided to bury them and not use them. And Jesus in this parable is saying there's not much point in being able to do stuff if you don't do it. And when I look around this congregation, I see people who are hugely talented. And what Jesus invites us to do is use our talents. We all have many, many gifts. And we're invited not just to talk about what we can do, not just tell others, like I tell you what the pliers can do. Jesus says, do it. Because the talents and the gifts that we have been given by God. And all that God asks is this, that we use our talents, that we use our gifts to serve him and to bring glory to him. So friends, talented people of God, use your gifts, for they are many, to the glory of God. Amen.
Thank you.
Wow. Hands up if you had the words of holy, holy, holy going through your mind. Wonderful, wonderful. So thinking of a great concert, and you know, I think we're very blessed with our musicians here in First Presbyterian. Mark is not with us today. Mark is on vacation, but he's fine. But I think all of our musicians are really terrific, and I think it's one of the things that really marks First Presbyterian Church in this community for the music that we have. And thinking of music, I want you to think about an auditorium, a wonderful, beautiful auditorium in Tel Aviv in Israel. And an American tourist was visiting Tel Aviv, and he decided to go to this auditorium. It's called the Mann Auditorium, M-A-N-N. And the Mann Auditorium is a magnificent building. And this American tourist decided that he was going to go to the Mann Auditorium. He was going to listen to the Israeli symphony. And he arrived for the concert kind of early. And so he noticed that there were tours offered, tours around the auditorium. And so he started to take a tour, and the tour guide showed him round, showed him the beautiful sweeping lines of the entrance foyer, explained about the magnificent architecture and how in the Mann Auditorium that a lot of thought had been put in to how it was acoustically perfect. The tourist was really impressed with this, and he said, so the Mann Auditorium, is that named after the composer, the famous composer, Thomas Mann? And the guide looked at him and said, no, it's named after someone called Frederick Mann from Philadelphia. And the tourist said, Frederick Mann, that name doesn't ring a bell. What did Frederick Mann write? And the guide said, a great big check. So to those of you who have written a great big check for our stewardship season, thank you. For those of you who have still to put in your pledge cards, thank you in anticipation. It's true that we need people to write checks. We need people to give money to the work of God and his mission and God's ministry here in this place. But of course, we all know that it's not just about writing a check. It's about giving something more. And on this Sunday, we read the parable of the talents that Jesus tells. It's about giving more. I'm sure many of you will remember Jack Benny, the comedian. And Jack Benny apparently had this famous routine where he tells about when he was held up and he was going to be robbed. And the robber said to him, your money or your life? And there was silence. And the robber said again, your money or your life? And there was silence. And the robber is now really agitated, and he says, your money or your life? And Jack Benny says, I'm thinking. You see, when we're asked to give, it's about our money and our life. It's about giving back to God what God has given to us. And that's not just financially. It's about using our talents. This parable is about the parable of the talents, that gifts were given to people, and what were they going to do with these gifts? Some were given many talents, and some were only given one. And of course, what did one person do with the one talent? What did they do with it? They buried it. So I have a confession to make. I think that all of us, or maybe I should just say, I know for sure that I have some talents that need to be buried. I really do. Oh, yeah. So here I was thinking about this sermon yesterday, and I decided to go out. So I got into the car, and something must have distracted me. Have you ever been distracted? No, no. So I got distracted, and I drove out, and I got to 4 Mile and Douglas. And I thought, I wonder where my phone is. So my phone is phone on one side, and on the other side I have my driver's license, my credit cards, my money, and my insurance cards. And I looked over at the passenger seat where I normally throw it, and I thought, it's not there. So how's this for stupid? I remembered the last place that I placed it. Where do you think it was? The last place that you would leave your phone? The roof of my car. That's very close, actually. Do you know where I left it? The back bumper. So, roundabout, came back, and where was my phone and my credit cards? Lying in the middle of Main Street. Open to the world, with not a mark on anything. However, my talent for stupidity is a talent that should be buried. All of us have talents that should be buried. There are some things that need to be buried. Our talent for judging others. Our talent for criticism. Our talent for being negative. Our talent for just being downright stupid. But we've been blessed with other talents and other gifts. What do we do with them? Do we risk it and give them back to God? Let us hear together the word of God in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. We're going to read from verse 14. This can be found on page 28 of the Pew Bibles. Let us hear the word of God. Jesus said, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents and saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter now into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward and said, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter seed, so I was afraid. And I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And on my return, I would have received what was my own, but with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away.'" Amen, and thanks be to God. I wonder if you remember the name Charles Blondin. Do you remember the name Charles Blondin? Does anyone know what he was famous for? And he didn't write a check. Or maybe he did. Charles Blondin was the first man to walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. The first man in 1859 to walk across Niagara Falls. Now you can imagine that there would be a huge crowd had gathered around. And the story goes that Blondin walked across the tightrope, quarter of a mile across the Niagara Gorge. The crowds cheered. Then the next thing he did was he actually rode a bicycle across the Niagara Gorge. The crowds were growing crazy. He then took a wheelbarrow and he said to the crowds, "Do you think that I can push this wheelbarrow across this gorge?" The crowds were cheering, "Yes, yes, we believe you can do it." And he did it. He got to the other side and there was a sack of potatoes. He put the sack of potatoes into the wheelbarrow and he said, "Do you believe that I can push this sack of potatoes in the wheelbarrow across the Niagara Gorge?" The crowds went wild. "Yes, yes, we believe it." And he did it. He got to the other side, took the sack of potatoes out of the wheelbarrow, and then he said, "Do you believe that I can push a person in this wheelbarrow across the Niagara Gorge?" And the crowd shouted, "Yes, yes." And he said, "Great. Can I have a volunteer?" And there was silence. There was silence. No one wanted to take the risk. No one wanted to take the risk. And you know, offering our talents to God is about taking a risk. It's about leaving ourselves out there. It's about vulnerability. It's about saying to God, "Yes, God, when I say I trust you, I really mean it." Someone once said, "The greatest risk that we ever take is to live too cautiously." And sometimes the church lives too cautiously. "We can't do that." And the last words of the church, "We've never done it that way before." And they will be the last words of the church if we don't take risks. The risk of offering ourselves, not just our money, but our very selves, to the work of God and to the work of God's kingdom. It is risky business. The easy thing is just to keep our heads down. My sermon title this morning is "The Currency of the Kingdom." And the currency of God's kingdom is our lives. Our lives lived in God's service. Our giving back to God our talents. And giving God more than God has given us. By the harvest that we sow and then reap by giving to God. I look round about this congregation and I see people who God has blessed greatly. God has given many, many various different talents to different people in this congregation. And I invite you today, each and every one of you, to take the risk of giving back something of your very self to God. As you seek to serve God in this community, where you work, where you live, where you play, wherever life takes you. Annie Lamott says that she's a writer, and she said, "You know, often I pray to God again and again, 'God, God, I need your help.'" And she says, "Every time I offer that prayer up to God, 'God, I need your help,' she said, I hear this voice at the back of my mind, and it's God saying, 'Well, isn't that just fabulous? Because I need your help too. So why don't you go and help that woman across there, or that child, or that man? Why don't you go and feed the hungry, or give a glass of cold water to a woman on a hot day? Why don't you go and clad that child with shoes, or give them school supplies, or whatever it is? And while you're doing that, says God, I'll work on your stuff." God needs help. God needs us. This parable of the talents says that God gives us talents. God invests in us. Have you ever thought about that? That God actually gives us these things because God is making an investment, and he's saying, make that investment productive. Do something with it. Why does God invest in us? Because God loves us. And God trusts us. Isn't that amazing? Because we always think it's about us loving God and us trusting God. But actually, this parable of the talent says, no, God loves you and me. And God has invested in us. He's invested in us talents that all that he says to us is this, use them. Use them. Feed the hungry. Take care of the children. Visit the stranger and the sick. Welcome those who are different. Each and every one of us has a talent to do all of these things. There's a story told about a man called Martin Rutt. I came across this story recently. Martin Rutt is a Canadian. And Martin has set up workshops that are called Heaven on Earth. And Martin Rutt, in these workshops, asks the people who come to the workshop three questions. I'm going to ask you these questions today. So I want you to think about this. First question is this. Can you think of a time when you experienced heaven on earth? Think of a time. Conjure it up in your mind. What did it look like? What did it feel like? Where were you? Who were you with? What were you doing? So that's the first question. Can you remember a time when you experienced heaven on earth? And the second question I ask you this morning that Martin Rutt asks is this. What would need to happen in your mind for heaven to come onto earth? What would that look like? Bearing in mind that we pray that prayer every Sunday, thy kingdom come on heaven, in heaven, what do we pray? Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I can remember a sermon, but I can't remember the Lord's Prayer. What can I say? Imagine what heaven and earth would look like. What would need to happen for heaven to be on earth? Okay? The third question is this. What small thing can you do to start making that happen? What can you do? What small thing can you commit at this moment to God to say, this is my vision of heaven on earth. And here is what I'm going to do to start bringing it about. That's the parable of the talents. What are you going to do to bring to pass the prayer that we pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Would you please exchange the peace with one another as our children leave for confirmation and Sunday school? We sing together our song of response. Our song of response is in the Blue Hymn Book this morning. It's hymn 554, Let All Things Now Living. Invite the ushers to now uplift the offering.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We turn to our prayers this morning and we remember the people whose names are in the bulletin, printed in the bulletin. And especially I would ask you to keep in prayer this morning Chuck Knedler and his wife Nancy. Chuck is at the moment nearing the end of his earthly life, and so we pray for peace for the family at this time. On a happier note, we rejoice in new life, and Lissy Blandford has asked me to announce that her new grandson was born in Virginia. Lucas has been welcomed into the world, and he is whole and healthy, so reason to give thanks. Let us pray. God, there are many reasons for which to give thanks. Thank you, God, for thanksgiving, for time to stop and to share time with loved ones, seated around tables laden with food, to share laughter and love, to share quality time, to share, and at the very heart of our sharing to give thanks to you, the giver of all our blessings and all our gifts. Thank you, God, for the gifts that you have given to each and to every one of us. Thank you, God, that we are richly blessed. And help us. Help us to discern, God, how we might best use these gifts to your glory. Remind us that every time we pray, help us, God, you speak back into our lives that you want us to help you, that your work and your will may be done, that the hungry may be fed, that the lonely may be visited, that the prisoners may be set free, that the oppressed may be released, that war may cease. God, open our eyes that we may see how we may truly bring about a little bit of heaven here on earth. The heaven for which we pray, where all live at peace, where everyone is free from want, where addiction no longer holds people in its grip and its power, where the divide between those who have and those who have not is negligible. God, we pray. And above all else, we pray, dear God, that your will would be done, and that you would work through us so that your will may indeed be done. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And hear us, God, as we say the prayer that we repeat over and again. Let us not be so familiar with it that we forget its words or its meaning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We sing and we pray that God's will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Go into the world and use your God-given talents to make that heaven come here on earth. And know that you go in the strength and in the presence and in the peace of God. And may the blessings of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and upon those whom you love and all God's people everywhere, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. And all of God's people said... May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.